Bradley on the Buzz Radio Network.
Welcome back in the zone, live from the Peabody Hotel. It is the Broyles Award. We are joined by two of the more successful defensive coordinators in the country, especially this year. Derek Mason, Stanford's defensive coordinator, and John Chavis, who was last year's winner. Both gentlemen have told me here in the break, not yet to start working on bowl preps, but congratulations to both of you on great seasons.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Coach Chavis, people ask, when you win the Academy Award, how it changed your life, if in any way. how about with the Broyles Award?
Well, it really did, and this is a big deal. I mean, there's 1,500 coaches that would love to have been here today, last year. And a lot of those 1,500, if not all of them, point towards this award. And as an assistant coach, it's the award. And there's a lot of prestige with it. Anywhere I go, I get introduced a little bit differently, and rightfully so. Anytime you have the Broyles name attached in any way, that's a tremendous honor. And it certainly has been a tremendous honor to have that this past year, and then it'll be forever. But there'll be a new guy announced here in a little bit, and there's a bunch of good guys here. I don't know how they go about getting it all done, but certainly they got a good crop this year in terms of the five finalists, and I know it's going to be an exciting time for them because it was for me.
At Augusta, of course, they passed the green jacket. Is there anything you do to give it off to the next winner? I guess, the last thing you want to do is hand that award over, because that thing weighs a ton.
No, not really, other than the fact that, I had a chance to tell them all last night that they're winners. And when you get here, you've accomplished something in a big way, in a special way. And certainly all five of these gentlemen have done that and had outstanding years. And that's what you look for in college coaching. You want to be able to put some of those years back to back and be able to do that and show some consistency. And these guys are all from great programs that, like I said, had a tremendous season this past season.
Coach, at Stanford, certainly it's been a great run of late, and it's a place with a lot of great tradition. But, it was, Harbaugh's leaving, they can't keep it up. And then it's Lux leaving, they can't keep it up.
Right.
But, boy, you talk about the defense, and again, it all kind of starts on that side of the ball, and that's been a consistent factor in the success you guys have had.
I'll tell you what, you have to go back to the early 70s, to the Thunder Chickens, to actually remember, when Stanford played, in great defense. But, mm-hmm. I will say this, much like Coach Broyles talked about in terms of assistants, we've got a great staff. Mm-hmm. I think anytime you have great teachers and you have great players, you definitely have a chance if you have a system in place that allows, them to understand the hierarchy of success and setting goals and being able to work and move towards those goals, then you have a chance for success. And at Stanford University, and it's not so much a one-man show, as you saw from the transition from Coach Harbaugh to Coach Shaw. I think what happens is now there's a system in place, the foundation's been laid, mm-hmm. For us to be good on both sides of the ball. And so with that being the case, that's our legacy now. That's what we have to live to, and that's what we have to abide by. And so that's what we do.
A lot of people, of course, we live in SEC country, so there's they look down on the other conferences around the country. But I think everybody has respect for the way that Stanford plays, especially from the defensive side of things. And the schedule, you look at what you guys did, and then you go to a conference and play, Notre Dame. What a year you guys have had as far as the schedule you guys have had to make up this year.
Well, I tell you what, when you look at our schedule, it's probably, in the top 10 schedules, across the country.
Sure.
We played eight teams that were ranked in the top. Now, UCLA twice, but we played eight teams that were ranked in the top, 30. So at the end of the day, we're willing to go in, any place and play anybody, anytime, any place. But, I think the biggest thing is, you want to be competitive and you want to stay relevant. That's what we're all looking for. Like Coach Chavis said earlier, it's about consistency. We're all looking to try to be the best that we can at all times, and that means trying to put together back-to-back seasons, and
right.
That's what we're trying to do.
Speaking of back-to-back, how difficult is it to prepare for the same team within a week? That's essentially what it was against UCLA, wasn't it?
Toughest thing that I've ever had to do,
really,
in my young coaching career, because for me, especially as a coordinator, I solicited information from Vic Fangio and other coaches that I admire and respect, and they all said the same thing: go back and set a new game plan. But it's really hard. You've got a short week to prepare, so
right.
We try to do that as best we could, but remember this, they still have the same players.
Yeah.
You can only do so much. The thing that they did, which is exactly what we knew they were going to do, was run the quarterback, okay, feed the running back, and make sure they got the ball to the tight end. And there was no secret. And for us, they played well. I think anytime you play a team a second time, you're going to get their best shot. And the thing you have to do is be able to swing momentum, you know, immediately when it changes and try to get it back in your favor. And we always talk about this, taking teams to the fourth quarter, trying to take teams to deep water. And that's what we were able to do, take them to deep water, and we wound up having a chance.
Yeah. Coach Hayes, I guess you had the similar experience with Alabama last year. How did I'm sure you had to go through some of the things that Coach Mason talked about.
Well, there's no question, and certainly, you know, playing that game in Tuscaloosa, the first game, and then the final game being for a national championship, you know, certainly it's difficult. It's the first time that I've ever had to, well, actually second time I've had to prepare for a team twice in one season, and you know, the coming out second in the end's not a lot of fun, but. You know, they had a great day. They made the plays that they needed to make. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, and you look at it from a defensive standpoint. We went 8.5, 3/3 of the eighth quarter before a touchdown was scored in either of those games.
That's
right. So, you know, it was, it was tough. And, you know, certainly, I'd like not to have to do that, but, you know, if you're going to have the best two teams playing, it happens.
Yes, sir.
There's no doubt about it. John Chavis joining us along with Derek Mason, defensive coordinators at LSU and at Stanford, respectively. Coach, you've been through do you have any idea how many bowl games this will be for you now this year?
No, I don't. Probably 22, 23, somewhere in that neighborhood.
I'm sure you've been through a couple different approaches as far as how much you work and how much you're off. Can you talk about the approach that you found that has worked the best?
Well, you know, there's been, and really, you know, Coach Miles does a tremendous job of preparing teams, and whether it's for the season, the long haul, whether it's for the bowl. 2 years ago when we were getting ready to play, you know, Oregon, the opening game, we were better prepared than probably any team that they've seen in terms of, and obviously you guys see them and play them well and did a great job, but You know, we were prepared, and he does a great job of that, and he's got a great feel for it. So, you know, obviously most of that will be his decision to make, but I guarantee he's already got it. It's on paper. I'll get back and read over it, and then we'll go do what, you know, what he needs for us to do because he does a great job of preparing teams.
We've talked a lot about media coverage and social networks and all that stuff and how people stay up with everything, whether it's rumors or fact. Both your coaches, anytime there's an opening, they're going to be rumored, you know, to be in the mix for it. And certainly as time goes on, I mean, you guys have been, I'm sure, rumored several times over too. But does the team ever pay any attention to that? Does that ever get to them? I mean, how much can you insulate them from the rumors and things going around with your coach? And, of course, you know, Coach Miles even addressed it at his press conference recently with the Arkansas talk. But how much can you insulate your kids to keep that from being a distraction?
Well, I think, first of all, kids are more resilient, you know, and they hear that stuff all the time. And really, they don't act on rumors, you know. Certainly, you got a relationship with them, and I would think this is foremost. You know, the coaches that I've been on staffs and worked with, if anything like that was going to happen, their team would know first. It would come from the head coach. Mm-hmm. That's the way it would be done. But like you said, those rumors get around. Kids don't pay any attention to it, to be honest with you, from my perspective.
Yeah.
They really don't. I know, you know, in today's society with, you know, Twitter and Facebook, you know, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, misinformation that's put out there. And I think, you know, what we try to do, you know, much like Coach Chavis alluded to, Coach Shaw is very good about stating the facts. I think that's what you do. You're always honest with your kids because, you know what, they entrust that you're always going to lead them the right way. And I think as long as you're a man of integrity, and that's what you're about, and that's what you ask your kids to do, okay, then you don't have any problems. And that's the way I think both our programs are run, with a lot of integrity.
It's not Twitter and Facebook you got to worry about. It's stupid shows like this one.
we start all the rumors, Coach. Now, do you guys get a chance to spend time with each other during this, I guess, 2 days that you're here and throw ideas around to each other? Because we've asked both of you kind of the same questions. And you can hear somewhat the same responses based on the.
I guess is the last thing you want to talk about is football when you're at something like this.
Oh, do you? Or what do you talk about? Family, football, basketball, what?
Well, you know, the biggest thing, you don't have opportunity to share, you know, X's and O's. It's more philosophies and dealing with people, and that's what it's all about. And Coach already said it. You know, if you're going, if you're in the right kind of program and you're up front and you're going to expect your kids to do the right things, and you're going to be doing the right things. And it's all about the way you present things to young people, and they buy into it. I learned a lesson a long time ago, and it took me a while to understand what the kids were saying. You know, my first job, and I was young, and I had a couple of kids came, you know, that came by. We met, we talked. And when they left, they said, "Keep it real, Coach." And I'm thinking, I'm thinking,
I gotta write that down, Coach.
Really, I'm thinking, keep it real. Keep, what they mean? And Woodrow McCorvey and I were office mates at the time, and Woodrow said, "Hey, man," said, "All they're doing is telling you just tell the truth."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's all they want is the truth. And when you keep it real, then they'll do what you ask them to do. There's no question.
Okay, well, let's keep it real then for a second. Let me ask you this. Because around here, here's the deal. You know, we always hear we're your SEC. I'm sure out where you guys are, there are people, fans-wise, that root for the teams in the conference. Do you root for the teams in your conference when you're not playing when it comes to bowl time, or do you say, I don't want them winning? That just helps them down the road. What are you thinking when you look at the other teams and the other matchups in the conference?
Well, I'm a football coach first and foremost. So for me, I think there's always, you know, some tie to, you know, my conference mates, because you know what, you see those guys all the time. Mm-hmm. You know and understand what they represent, you know, man, for your business model in terms of what your conference is all about. So, man, you root for those guys, but I like ball coaches. I mean, you know, man, Coach Javis, I mean, I said it to him, you know, man, yesterday, and you know, man, I've sort of modeled some of the things that we do, you know, in terms of the intensity, the aggressiveness, and how they play and how they attack people. That's what we want to be about. So, I mean, I'm always a fan. I'm a fan of the sport. You know, man, I love good coaches. I love great football. You know, I'm a football junkie that way.
Yeah.
So, for me, I mean, I root for great games. That's what I want to see as a coach.
I'm not any different. And there's no particular, you know, sure, if it came down to it, there's some conference ties. But, really, I like to see two teams compete when we're not involved. And I like to see their coaches sweat it out and see, and their players, and let it happen, let it get done on the field, and then, you know, let watch the teams enjoy it afterwards. It doesn't matter a whole lot to me. And again, you know, that's the way football should be played. And as a fan, I know everybody's got a favorite, but as a coach, I agree. I like to see a great football team or a great football game. That's what I enjoy the most.
Now, I see Basil walking over here looking at his watch. But real quick, you guys are both DCs. You got a chance to see Andrew Luck up close and personal, Johnny Manziel up close and personal. What would you do with him and vice versa? How was that experience trying to defend a guy like Manziel?
You know, Andrew Luck is a different player.
Yeah.
He really is. I mean, I had a chance to work with Brett Favre, you know, like in Minnesota. And the thing I'll tell you is, you know, the great ones have it. When you watch Manziel has it. I mean, whatever, you know, man, that it is, you know, man, the ability to extend plays, the ability, you know, man, to not be swallowed by circumstance and stay in the moment and focus and be intense and be able to get it done. So, you know, I think what you really look at is those tangibles and what makes them, you know, man, who they are. And you know what? There's no test tube product for it. I think you have it or you don't.
you talk about defending, and I'll say this, when you try to defend a guy like that, because a lot of what happened is just spontaneous. I mean, it's him doing things, seeing things, reacting to things, and, you know, he's a phenomenal athlete. He's got outstanding athletes around him, and he's got the freedom to go make plays, and he knows how to do that. So. Mm-hmm. It's difficult.
Coach, I know you were here last year, obviously, as the winner. And, Coach Mason, we were talking before we came on the air. Your wife actually has a connection here to Little Rock, right?
Correct. Her dad and her grandfather are here, are actually from Little Rock. I mean, her grandmother's actually from Fayetteville. But, you know, the one thing that's been great for her is to get back here. I mean, she hadn't been back here in maybe 18 years. So for her, it's
yesterday?
Yes, until yesterday, man. So it's a special time.
Wow. Where'd you meet her?
I met her in college.
Okay.
I mean, her grandparents, along with her dad, moved to Arizona because her grandmother actually became ill, and they went out to, you know, Arizona. I mean, her grandfather was an engineer, built most of Northern Arizona University.
Wow.
And most of the buildings on that campus, and we met when I was senior in college, and we married 2 years later, and we've been married 19 years. So
I know what you've been doing the last couple of days. You've been dragging you around to the old neighborhood, meet the old folks?
Hey, I tell you what, you know, man, for me, it's a blessing.
Yeah, of course.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to you, Coach, and congratulations to both of you on a great season.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate y'all coming
on. Means you got a recruiting tie, not a Little Rock.
You got to watch your eye on this guy.
Come on, Coach.
Hey, you know what? If he takes him to the Pac-12, that's all right. Coach, thank you. Great meeting you.
Thank you. Good luck.
Coach Chavis, thanks. Great
seeing you. Coach Chavis, good luck. Thank you, sir. You know what? Now I want all these guys to coach at Arkansas.
Well, what a staff this would be.
I want to – hey, can you guys go to Fayetteville and put your name in for the job, please?
Hey, Jeff.
One of them all.
Jeff, I'm talking about what a
Jeff
great
Long or Jeff Hildebrand?
Jeff Hildebrand.
Oh, okay.
The true power broker in this community. Look, I mean,
can we have?
Let's get all six of them. I mean, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Let's get all six of them. That's what I think. We're going to talk basketball. We'll get Pat's Key 3 coming up on the Razorback basketball game. We will carry some of the speeches from today's Broyles Award as well, so stay tuned for all that. You know, we had Carl Benson on yesterday, Pat, talking about football, the commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference. And Did you get the clip?
HB did his work. HB, is he back there?
I assume that he is.
I got two clips. One's about 30 seconds, and that was on everything they've done. And then the next clip, about 45 to a minute, is the explanation.
Well, here's the thing.
On why.
I want to play those. But after we had spoken to him yesterday, he was on the show for about 15 minutes yesterday, they released another statement from the conference, and it says, "While I'm happy," this is from Carl Benson, "while I'm happy to have a record number of teams in bowl games this season, I would be even happier if Middle Tennessee would have received a bid. Additionally, our persistent efforts working for Arkansas State to appear in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl were not rewarded. I am disappointed with both of these outcomes, and I understand why our fans feel so strongly about the results." He says, "I'm also disappointed to hear there's public opinion that I worked against our schools in our conference. That could not be further from the truth. In fact, a great deal of work was done with our member institutions in an attempt to get the best possible outcome for bowls." And the other thing is, too, remember, this is a Middle Tennessee team that basically flipped the Sun Belt bird, and they're on the way out the door to Conference USA, which I think, look, a lot of people can understand some of that. But there was somewhat of a discussion about, hey, maybe he's not working for Middle Tennessee because they're leaving the conference.
I will say this. We talked about it before. I've attempted to begin to read Death to the BCS 4 times. I'm slowly getting through it. The opening.
Have you seen all the pictures?
I haven't gone to that. The opening statement is based on the fact that the commissioners of each conference have, let's just say, somewhat of their own interests in mind. So it's not far-fetched that a lot of public opinion thinks that commissioners of conferences don't always work the way you'd thought for all members of the conference.
Well,
and I'm not saying that's true and untrue, but just when your book comes out like that.
When you're in a conference like the Sun Belt, guess what? The more money you get comes from those teams making games.
Sure, I understand, but still.
I'm sure that he wanted to get Middle Tennessee in a bowl game. And like we talked about, we asked him specifically, if ASU goes to Liberty, does Middle Tennessee have a chance at the GoDaddy Bowl? And he said, absolutely. So certainly he was working for that. And here's a little bit of our conversation yesterday with Carl Benson, the Sun Belt commissioner.
If the Arkansas State fan knew how much time Terry Mahodger and myself and many of the other, you know, Arkansas State kind of infrastructure from the governor, you know, all the way down, how hard we have worked over the course of the last 3 weeks to try to get Arkansas State into the Liberty Bowl, and part of that, what we had to accomplish in order to get that was to allow New Orleans to pass on what might be the champion. You know, and a week ago, you know, they didn't know who the champion was going to be. We knew that we had a championship game between Middle Tennessee and Arkansas State, and you know, we allowed New Orleans to go ahead and select UL Lafayette. But it was part of a much larger plan, mm-hmm. To be able to to position and ultimately land either Arkansas State or Middle Tennessee in the Liberty Bowl.
That is the Sun Belt Commissioner Carl Benson from yesterday in the Zone. If you want to hear the complete interview, we talked at length about all the things going in to what happened with ASU and how they ended up in Mobile as opposed to both New Orleans and the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. You can listen to that at 1037thebuzz.com. Go to the audio gallery, and I'm sure Pat linked it to the blog. I mm-hmm. also put it on my Twitter account. David Basil joining us. And, David, another great event here for the Broyles Award, another list of unbelievably impressive candidates we've never missed.
Every guy,
you're like, you're so in love with them.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, I'd take that guy at Arkansas. Man, I'd take that guy at Arkansas. But the news is this morning that they may have their man.
Yeah, apparently so. I just spoke with somebody who is connected to the athletic department, and he was hinting around that they have gotten their coach because some of the guys are not here.
Can I tweet this out?
I don't care.
You know, if it's on Twitter, it's going to be confirmed factual stuff.
You don't
tweet,
do you?
I do not tweet.
If he is on Twitter.
If you had a Twitter account that you maintained, would you tweet it?
I would say it's Gundy's. Gundy is the man.
Then I'll
so
tweet
Mike
it.
Gundy, the Oklahoma State coach.
Per David Basil.
Yeah.
Now, who's going to Tennessee? Do you know that?
I don't know. I'm just a little disappointed. I don't know. It should have felt that way.
Well, you wanted a coach who wasn't younger than you.
he is a man.
He is a man. He's 42 or 3 now.
Yeah, I hope he does a good job.
Hey, are you sure you're not on Twitter?
No. Broyles Ward is. And I am on Twitter. I just don't know how to do it.
Oh, are you cautiously optimistic or are you totally disappointed?
Totally disappointed.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you don't mince words, Dan.
Yeah, I'm just being
so you're not happy with the hire.
It's all right. I'll support him. I just after 8 months, to it's the guy, you know, right around the corner. And he's done a good job at Oklahoma State, but, you know, after having Petrino
He's a top 15 coach.
Okay, maybe so. Maybe so. The question is, could we have hired somebody else that maybe could take us higher than the top 15?
Well, the question's going to be what happened with Peterson, because that was a guy that a lot of people thought was a strong possibility. Gundy was a guy that I think most people around here thought for the right amount of money they could get, because there was a lot of smoke over there as far as him not being happy or not seeing eye to eye with the AD or whatever the deal was over there. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot of people had their sights set to a place where,
I think so. I think that's probably what. And plus the long, exhaustive search that you think, wow, it took 8 months to probably get that deal.
Yeah.
I'm nervous to post this.
Okay.
Should I?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, screw it.
You have no journalistic integrity.
This is the Broyles Ward, and there are Basil. People involved with college athletics here.
I thought one of the requirements for being the next Arkansas Razorbacks head football coach was they had to be a Broyles Award winner or at least a finalist.
I don't believe Gundy has been, but he's
good. Well, he's been a head coach for a long time. That's his problem. Yeah. Here's my deal. I'm very cautiously optimistic about it. I think he'll do a fine job, to be honest with you. So.
Yeah, I hope so. Hope so.
Well,
we got five great coaches over here. We got to introduce
you. You broke the Razorback football coaching story.
I did.
How about breaking the Broyles?
Broke the mold too.
Can
you want to let us in on that?
Can you let us in on the Broyles?
You know?
Broyles would.
Yeah, he's the only man that knows. You're the only one who knows.
All I know is that when you talk to those five guys, you know why they're five of the best.
Let me ask you this: Did you have to discount Hayden Fry's vote for Bob Diaco, considering he played for him?
Well, you also had Vince Dooley, who also was obviously a Georgia guy in the corner.
But he coached Bobo. I mean,
he did not. That's right.
So it's a unique situation.
So can you give us the initials? Just the initials. We don't want to know who it is.
Can you tell?
It's Gunny. Not enough.
Offense, defense. You don't need anything. So there you go. From David and Basil's lips to your ears, the next head coach at the University of Arkansas. Will be Mike Gundy.
Acre.
Yep.
Told you so.
Did you?
Nobody knew that. I think, honestly, what do you feel? No, you're not happy. I don't know who is.
I'm happy.
Let me ask you this question.
Oh, no, I'm very happy.
You are happy.
I have absolutely no problem with Mike Gundy being the head coach at Arkansas.
You don't, right?
No, I have zero problem with that. I think he's a great offensive coach. I hope he hires the right defensive coordinator. I think he'll do a great job from a recruiting standpoint. And he's a guy that I'm very comfortable as a Razorback fan having out in front of my program. Plus, I love him. I love his intensity. I think he's going to do a great job.
Thinking on it, what was the one thing we said about him and his relationship with the leadership? That he wanted to be able to control a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you have a big, powerful guy like a T. Boone Pickens, and you want to kind of be the powerful guy in that, and you don't have that kind of... They don't allow you to have that kind of power. Even though you're successful, you may be happy in a particular place. We saw it with Frank Martin going from Kansas State in basketball to South Carolina.
Yeah.
A lot of times the relationship with the administration will cause a successful, happy coach to go somewhere else.
Would you have taken – okay, let me ask you this. If I gave you the option between Gundy and one of the six guys we just talked to, what would you take?
To be fair, we didn't get a chance to sit across from Coach Gundy like we got with these guys, even though it was 15 minutes. But I'm telling you, these guys are so talented, Justin. They can sell themselves in 10 to 15 minutes. Imagine if you spent 4 hours or a day, a night with these guys, with their families. You don't tell me you're going to fall in love with these guys?
I don't know if I fall in love.